Blog Talk Radio.
Stand up, people.
Let's get this party started. We hate the Falcons, by the way.
You know what? You about to get off, Rob Ford. Pause on Rob Ford. Here we go. Well, man, is officially on the air.
Your time is up. My time is now.
We love the Falcons.
You can't see me, my time is now.
This is the Hating Falcons episode tonight, folks.
I don't know what Rob just said, but that's okay. We're talking sports with the 12th man today. It's Tuesday, January the 15th. And, of course, we are the third show in, man. This has been a fantastic year, especially for me. Yours truly, Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. You are clued in to Talking Sports with 12th Man once again. Oh, man, we got a lot of things to dive into. Obviously, NFL is king. We're going to hit that pretty big. Talk some NFL, some NBA, a lot of good things. Rob Ford, I would be with Mercy if I don't ask you how are you doing tonight and don't say anything smart, but how are you doing, sir?
Man, doing great. Ready to get this party started. And I know I'm kidding with our viewer, our listeners, I should say that this is a iteration part of the Falcons, but I will congratulate you on your Falcons victory this past weekend, and congrats on you all making the NFC Championship game.
I don't know if that's a veiled congratulation or what, but we will keep it going. We hope Robert isn't doing any doping over there, but all is well. Let's keep it live for those who want to call into the show. We're going to throw out some numbers for you to follow us, all that fun stuff. To call in the show, tell us your thoughts. That number, it is 424-243-9519. You can follow us on Twitter at 12thmansports and also on Facebook at facebook.com/12thmansports. So let's kick the show off. We got a lot of things to discuss. And first and foremost, we have the NFC and the AFC championship game predictions. First and foremost, let's start on the AFC side. Let's start with the number 4 Ravens at the number 2 Patriots. And I got to tell you, Rob, this is a big, big surprise last week. We did not expect, I don't know about you, I did not expect to see the Ravens. Not to say that they weren't playing inspired, but everyone had predicted the Broncos to come in and do their thing. Very surprising.
Yeah, I would definitely very surprising. Now, we know Peyton Manning has not been Peyton Manning may go down as the greatest regular season quarterback in NFL history, but his playoff record is 9-11. And so for some reason, when it gets down to crunch time, you know, I don't think the loss should be totally blamed on Peyton Manning. Obviously, Champ Bailey got beat deep for a couple of touchdowns. You look at the end of regulation, Denver gave up an unbelievable touchdown for Baltimore to tie the game and send it to overtime. And then, of course, the play that, you know, you're going to blame Peyton Manning for was the interception in overtime that gave Baltimore a great field position to kick the game-winning field goal. But it's just something about Peyton Manning in the playoffs. Once again, like I said, he may go down as the greatest regular season quarterback of all time. He's made it to 2 Super Bowls. Yes, we do understand that, and he's won one of them. And but his playoff record is 9-11. And yeah, you have to wonder if that's what's going to go down to be his legacy, his 9-11 playoff record. Obviously, he's still got about 2 to 3, maybe 4 years left in him to, you know, improve that record and possibly win a Super Bowl. But, you know, it's been proven so far that he's not the greatest playoff quarterback. Baltimore comes out on top. And but moving on to the AFC Championship game, I just don't see Baltimore beating New England. And I know this is a repeat of last year's AFC Championship game. I know Baltimore is going to be well-prepared, well-coached. And Flacco outplayed Brady in last year's AFC Championship game. But I just think New England is clicking on all cylinders. And I almost want to say Baltimore got a little lucky this past weekend with the way some of those plays transpired. And but I like New England to win this game by at least 10 points.
You got to say that the Ravens could be a team of destiny as well, too, because, you know, as mentioned, the Broncos were on fire, and for them to go in there and do what they did to surprise the whole world, containing a very explosive, not really containing, I mean, it was a pretty high-scoring game, but it comes to making plays near the end of the game, and they were able to do that versus, obviously, as we mentioned, a pretty dynamic Peyton Manning. And it's pretty ironic. Whenever you look at the Broncos, I actually kind of dig up some ghosts of the past here with John Elway. And later on, once John Elway got a little older, what happened? He actually got, you know, Terrell Davis. And once Terrell Davis got there and they had that running game that was pretty strong, they weren't as one-dimensional. And I think that's maybe something that the Broncos may want to look at, kind of building up that running game, really having a really strong running game. Not to say that Peyton needs it per se, because he's still one of the greatest quarterbacks, but I think that'll help balance things out too, because, you know, he's getting older, as you said, maybe he's got four more years in him. And let's make it easy for him to make those decisions. So not everything is on Peyton Manning. So that's my go ahead. I'm sorry. You about to say something? Sir?
Another point on that that football game, you got to realize that the Broncos are down to their third running back. I mean, Willis McGahee, as you know, was out about the last six games of the regular season. Then you lose no Sean Marino in that game. And the thing, you know, you think about, a lot of times you think you're just losing the running back, but no Sean Marino is a solid protector, quarterback protector in a passing game. And Hillman is not quite the same back as far as protecting the quarterback and chipping and things of that nature. You know, he's a solid young running back, but you lose some things when you lost Marino. You lost a physical runner, and you lost a guy that can help in pass protection and chipping guys and things like that. And if you notice, once Marino went out of that game, there was a lot more pressure that was being put on Peyton Manning.
Yeah, good point, too. So, but you know, as mentioned, I'm kind of leaning towards you. I'm thinking the Patriots are going to pull this game out. It's going to be a tough game. I don't think it's going to be, like I said, it's probably going to be another great game, too. So we'll see how that plays out. As always, and excellent points as far as that. And like I said, I just think next year maybe the Broncos are going to add, you know, obviously add a more dynamic piece at the running back position just to help out Peyton. And they're going to definitely add some more weapons, too. So we'll see how it plays out. The Broncos, they're the team that is on the rise for sure, much to the Texans' dislike. But we'll see how that plays out. I'm sure the Texans are upset. They thought they got rid of Peyton whenever he left the Colts, and he's right back in the same in that division. So we'll keep it going. It's all in the same,
same
AFC,
conference.
Yeah, conference. Yep. Okay. Moving on to the NFC Championship game, we have a lot of interesting things going on within my household with the Falcons versus the 49ers. Number one, Falcons versus number two, 49ers. Yep. And Robert is already picking the 49ers throughout various posts, supports and stuff like that, too. So, yeah, I'm sure I'd like to hear your little comments on this, Rob, and what do you have to say? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm pulling for the 49ers, but actually I'm picking the Falcons to win the game. And one thing that concerns
what,
me
is my heart, what just happened?
Well, you know, one thing that concerns me, the last time the 49ers played on the road, they got whipped it up in Seattle 42-6. And Colin Kaepernick, anybody who saw that game against Green Bay, he put on a hell of a show against Green Bay with running and throwing with accuracy, running with speed and explosion. And, you know, I just wonder if he can have the same composure on the road. Now, we saw Russell Wilson go in there and have great composure. And, you know, Russell Wilson has proven in the last half of the regular season and even the first playoff game, winning on the road, showing great composure. Russell Wilson is 24 years old, and he's calm beyond his years. And of course, the Falcons nipped him in the end, but you can't blame it on Russell Wilson. He played a great game and was very composed. And I'm not sure if Kaepernick will have the same composure. Maybe he will. I mean, I'm not sure. And so I'm gonna pick the Falcons with another close game. I'm thinking it's going to be similar to what you just saw. You know, maybe by a field goal. And of course, like I said, you know, I'm a Saints fan, so we can't root for the Falcons. So you know, I'm pulling for the Niners. But you know, looking at it objectively, I think I have to pick the Falcons to win the game. Now, usually in these championship games, and for the most part, historically, at least one road team wins. And so it'll be interesting. Right now, I'm picking New England and Atlanta, which are both the home teams. But historically, in these championship games, at least one road team wins.
Gotcha.
See if that be the case this week.
Yeah, this is definitely a tough game for the Falcons because everything about the 49ers, they're pretty much in a lot of the top categories defensively. So, you know, this is definitely going to be a huge challenge for the Falcons. As you mentioned, I know we talked about Colin Kaepernick, CK7 is what they're calling him, in the Bay Area. We've got a lot of listeners out there. And the thing about, you know, Colin, he actually performed pretty well on the road versus New England. That was his first game that I thought that he was going to have some jitters, but he performed admirably versus the Patriots and pulled out that game. So, you know, I'm not looking at him to have any problems with composure. He played well in a lot of games. So this is definitely one of those situations where if you're a Falcon fan like myself, you're hoping that you still play a dynamic game. He doesn't get too crazy. As far as we're able to contain Marshawn Lynch, which everyone didn't think we were going to do, thanks Heath Evans and Darren Sharper on NFL Network calling out the Falcons saying we couldn't do it. I know they're former Saints players, so I'm not mad at them. But the situations where it's the same thing, you know, we're going to have to do a better job of containing, you know, Colin, you know, because Frank Gore can spring loose. And then obviously, if you watched the game, you saw how Zach Miller kind of killed us in coverage. So there's a lot of things that we have to play out. Hopefully Mike Nolan's insights is going to play into that. And that's the only thing that I can say about this, that hopefully we have to edge that. Because other than that, just this is going to be a physical game, because everything that we're strong in, the 49ers are strong, you know, they're strong in the pass defense. You know, we're stronger, you know, as far as, well, they're stronger versus the run. I mean, there's just different things that doesn't bode well for us. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll have that advantage for the Dome. And like I said, obviously I would be crazy if I didn't pick the Falcons, which we're picking. But it's going to be a very close game, as mentioned. And I know we are very much lucky to get past the Seattle Seahawks. So all the Saints fans that were going for the Seahawk Nation, you almost got your wish, but we got lucky to pull it out. So we're on the play another week.
Well, one thing that I think, another thing that should concern the Falcons a little bit is if you look at the this season, the Falcons have struggled against mobile quarterbacks. And
yeah.
Cam Newton had two great games against the Falcons this year. You look at Russell Wilson, had a great game, and now you're going up against a guy like Kaepernick. So these guys seem to have caused the Falcons some issues this season. So that would be one thing. I mean, like I said, I still think the Falcons win in a very close one. But I think, you know, if Kaepernick comes to play, that should definitely really be concerning since they haven't done very well against those kind of quarterbacks. If they can run and throw it accurately, I mean, they're going to be tough to stop.
Yeah, true indeed. Let's keep it going. For those that want to call into the show, let's throw out some numbers. The number to call in, it's 424-243-9519. And don't forget to tweet us, tell us if we were crazy, what you think about these predictions, and we'll keep it moving. So we're going to talk about that new style of quarterback as well, Rob. I think you made some good points about the new mobile quarterback. But let's talk about some points, and obviously we talked about what would be a more entertaining or intriguing Super Bowl. And I think if you look at the NFL Network, a lot of voters had the 49er Patriots to be more intriguing, or some people had the Battle of the Harbaughs. And actually, as a Falcon fan, honestly, any Super Bowl with Falcons would be more intriguing to me. But another one would probably be the 49ers and the Ravens. That would be a very entertaining Super Bowl. But what do you think about this particular example? And obviously, I actually like the Patriots and the 49ers, too, so I think that would be pretty interesting, too. So those are two good matchups to look at.
But a more intriguing matchup to me would be the Patriots against the 49ers. And you know, of course, Belichick, I think Jim Harbaugh is probably one of the better younger coaches in the league, and I think he's going to be – I think he has a chance to be the kind of coach that Belichick is. And so I think those two guys going head-to-head, matching wits in the Super Bowl, to me would be a little bit more intriguing than the two Harbaugh brothers going head-to-head. And, yeah, I would definitely be very intrigued to see a guy like Belichick going up against a guy like Harbaugh, who's still relatively young as a head coach. And but I think he has a potential to be a great one. And going up against a, you know, older coach who technically considered already to be a great one. So I think that would be a little bit more intriguing to me. Then I think you got another thing that's kind of intriguing here. You look at the Patriots organization, you got three Super Bowl championships. You look at the 49ers, that's five. So you're looking at two organizations here. You know, they have near the top as far as Super Bowl championships going head-to-head. So to me, that would be a little bit more intriguing. of a Super Bowl matchup, and really the matchup that I would really like to see.
Gotcha. Well, keep that going. We'll see how it plays out. Hopefully I'll be visiting you pretty soon, Rob, so we'll keep that going. Let's talk about the NFL coaching carousel. There's a lot of moves that have been going on this past week, and the biggest move that just actually happened is that the San Diego Chargers have hired the former offensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos and Mike McCoy. And let's talk about this, Rob, and we'll jump into some other things because there's still some moves that are still out there. But what do you think about this particular hire, Rob? You think this is a good move by the Chargers?
I really do. If you look at Mike McCoy, just look at what he's done the last 2 years in Denver. You got to realize last year he was the offensive coordinator for a Broncos team where Tim Tebow was the quarterback and he was running the spread option. This year he changes the whole terminology of the offense to fit Peyton Manning's strengths. And that just shows the kind of guy, you know, I think you want to have a coach that can adapt to his personnel. And I think even if you just look at McCoy in the last couple of years, he adapted to having Tebow as quarterback, and then 1 year adapted to Peyton Manning. And I think that's the kind of coach you want to have. A lot of times you have coaches that come in and just want to implement their system, but I think a lot of times the great coaches find the strengths of their personnel and make that work for them. And I think McCoy has shown that in the last couple of years. So I think this is a great hire. I'm still a little shocked that Lovie Smith hasn't gotten another head coaching job yet. And from the looks of it, it doesn't look like he will get a head coaching job this year anyway. But I do like the hire of Mike McCoy. I think he's shown some innovation, and I think this is a really good hire. Arizona really wanted this kid as well. Not kid, I'm sorry. Not a kid. But Arizona really wanted this guy as well. And he's older than me. But Arizona really wanted Mike McCoy as well. They were hoping that he would give them a second interview, but San Diego wouldn't let him leave, and they agreed to a deal. And so I think it's a great hire for the Chargers.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, too.
Getting
because,
established quarterback already, too.
Yeah, and whenever we first were thinking of the openings, we thought that was going to be the first job that was going to get hired because if you're looking at, you know, Philip Rivers, you're thinking this is a great move because you already have your, you know, you're supposed to already have your franchise quarterback already there. So very surprising that it took a little longer, but I guess they're looking for their right guy and they ended up grabbing him and Mike McCoy. And I think this is another move. I think this is pretty sly if you're the Chargers because you kind of weaken somebody, in your division too because they get somebody from the Broncos and, it's a good move for them to kind of weaken their AFC counterpart, and maybe he has some insight on a plan against the Broncos. But, you know, we'll see how that plays out for sure.
My sources tell me that the Broncos would really like to hire Ken Wisenhunt to be their new offensive coordinator to replace McCoy.
Wow.
Of course, Wisenhunt is still the candidate for a few head coaching jobs, so we have to kind of see how that plays out. If he does not get a head coaching job, look for Wisenhunt to be Denver's new offensive coordinator and replace Mike McCoy.
Gotcha. Well, like I said, and according to McCoy, he said he's not going to take any of the Broncos assistants with him, so very curious to see what the staff looks like there. Is Don Capers still coaching the defense for the Chargers? Is he still out there? I got to check to see if that's
actually
the case
Don
too,
Capers
but.
Is the he's a defense coordinator for the Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay, I'm thinking something else. Okay, I apologize. Okay,
yeah.
Good deal. I apologize. I thought something about something else. Okay, good deal. I was thinking something else. Moving
now,
along.
If you look at a lot of these hires so far, they've all been offensive guys. If you look at Rob Chizinski going to Cleveland.
I think
that's a solid hire there, and getting North Turner to be his offensive coordinator up there in Cleveland. You look at Doug Marrone, Sean Payton disciple, Bill Parcells disciple,
going to Buffalo,
another offensive guy. You look at Mike McCoy going to the Chargers, Andy Reid, another offensive guy, who announced today that he will call his own plays in Kansas City and keep the 3-4 defense. And you look at the next hot name right now is Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator from Seattle. You look at the job he's done in his first year coaching Russell Wilson there. He's a new hot guy. It looks like Arizona and Jacksonville are showing a lot of interest in him. Look for him to possibly get one of those jobs. as a head coach. I think Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator for Seattle, looks to be the favorite for the Philadelphia job, so he may be the first defensive guy to get a head coach. So Pete Carroll might be in a little bit of a dilemma that he may lose both of his coordinators to head coaching positions.
And it's interesting, too, that another one that we're still talking about, the Jacksonville Jaguar position, and the road on the street, according to some sources, that they're kind of waiting to hear what happens with Greg Roman, the guy from San Francisco. I want to say he is actually, I think he's the defensive guy for the 49ers. I got to check and see exactly where.
He's the offensive coordinator for the
offensive coordinator for the offensive coordinator. Yeah, I saw that. So basically, this is a guy that, you know, they can't talk to him obviously until after the playoffs. But I know they're getting a little anxious as well too. So that's another one you got to think about. The surprising team is the Bears, because it looks like the Bears are all over the board, because they've interviewed a lot of people. maybe Bruce Arians will kind of end up being that, but it seems like they just got like a lot of things going on. That search is the one that we'll have to wait and see what's going to go on with that one too. So I don't know.
I think with the Bears, you're looking at, I think Mark Trestman. He's a guy that used to be offensive coordinator in the NFL for a long time. He's actually the head coach of Montreal in the Canadian Football League as we speak. He looks to be the favorite right now, and with Bruce Arians possibly being the guy there as well. So I think those are the top two choices. But I'm thinking, based on my sources, it looks like Mark Trestman may be the leading guy there in Chicago. So look for that to possibly happen here in the next day or two with Mark Trestman leaving the Montreal Alouettes of the Canadian Football League to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears.
Good deal. We've got about 8 minutes left in the show. For those that want to call in, please give us your thoughts. That number, once again, it's 424-243-9519, and we love to see your tweets, your responses on Facebook, all that fun stuff. We are here to be a show for the people. Before we talk about Tim Tebow and a good fit in Arizona, let's actually talk about the next generations of quarterbacks that are getting ready to take over the NFL. And if obviously you've been watching a lot of these games over the weekends, and you're seeing a nice little trend, Rob. You're seeing the trend of these mobile quarterbacks but have the skills to still throw the ball deep. You know, obviously RG3 is kind of taking over the league. Russell Wilson has a shot to be the possible rookie of the year. And then you see Colin Kaepernick. He's not a rookie, obviously, in the second year, but, you know, Colin is kind of doing his thing. A bigger version, if you will, but the way that I see it, it's tougher for teams to adapt, and that's kind of how the NFL is. You know, it's a copycat league, and whenever you see different trends going on and the whole thing, it's hard to keep eye on a quarterback whenever you're, you know, playing man to man and your back's, you know, to the quarterback. And you know, the way that Colin plays, is there sometimes, do you kind of think this is kind of a new wave, Rob, as far as, you know, having truly mobile quarterbacks and guys that can just pull it, tuck and run? And I think this is actually good for the NFL and possibly more of a spread offense looks moving forward.
Well, yes, absolutely. Now, the key is these guys have to be accurate. And I think if you can find, I think ideally NFL teams are going to start looking for quarterbacks that can move around in the pocket and run for first downs. And they're going to look for guys that can do that as well as can throw the football accurately. Now, you know, you have to find guys that can do both. And so far, if you look at Russell Wilson, he, as the season went along, you know, early in the year he wasn't as accurate, but as the season went along, you can see his accuracy got better. I mean, the guy looked like a veteran quarterback. RG3 started the season off throwing the ball accurately. And so he's got, you know, you also saw him at Baylor throwing the ball very accurately. And so this is, once again, that's the key. Can you be mobile, but can you also throw the ball accurately? And you look at, you know, there's been a few mobile quarterbacks over the years that maybe can run but wasn't able to throw the ball accurately. And and that's the key. Now you're finding some guys that can actually do both. The RG3s of the world, the Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick seems to be throwing the ball solidly and very accurately. And that's the key is, you know, if you're able to do both, then the NFL scouts are going to be drooling over you. And even Cam Newton, to a certain degree, hasn't fully developed a strong accuracy. He's got a strong arm, there's no doubt about that. But as soon as he develops, you know, becomes a little bit more accurately, he's going to be even more dangerous from the quarterback position as well. Same thing with Josh Freeman, just not as accurate with the football. He's not quite as mobile as some of these other guys, but he can run as well, but his accuracy is not up to par yet. But you look at these three guys here, RG3, Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, they're able to do both.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's kind of the way that the league has kind of evolved, you kind of feel sorry for the guys in the past. Like, you know, back in the day, I would consider more of a Vince Young kind of similar like that. He just had, coming out of college, he had the speed. I don't know if he was as accurate, but he was doing his thing. And same thing with the Michael Vick. If Michael Vick would have actually, you know, took the time to work on his craft, he could have actually revolutionized the position of quarterback, the guy with that type of speed. Now, he wasn't as accurate, but if he would have taken the time to develop that, he could have definitely changed the way that we're looking at the quarterbacks now. So good news moving forward is that, you know, all those guys that are playing in the spread and a lot of these athletes that are making moves to become the quarterbacks, there could be a good shot moving forward in this new-look NFL because guys don't want just statues back there anymore, which I would never have thought I'd say that, Rob, believe it or not, back in the day, because I'm sure most GMs and quarterbacks, I want a guy that's going to be sit there and stand in his pocket and take those hits. And now you see, like, these young mobile guys, and they're doing some stuff, you know, so yeah. It's pretty exciting to see the trend in the NFL.
Well, you can go back to the days. I'll make one more point real quick on Steve Young.
Yeah.
He may be the first guy that Steve Young can throw the ball over 70% accurate rate. I think to this day still has the highest quarterback rating of anybody in the NFL history. And so this was a guy that was able to run for 30, 40-yard runs and throw the ball extremely accurate. And like I said, if you can find guys like that, the general manager would be drooling over them.
Yep. So with that, move, let's talk about your favorite player, Rob, Tim Tebow. Speaking of a change, he is
somehow
not...
just seems to make it to our show.
He always makes it every week for some reason. Oh, man, it's like Skip Bayless is writing our topics. But Tim Tebow, he's kind of a changed quarterback. He's kind of different. Would he be a good fit in Arizona in your mind? We got about 3 minutes left, Rob.
Well, I'll make a quick note on this really quick regarding Tim Tebow. I mean, Arizona, of course, is in dire straits at the quarterback position. And there's some rumors taking place that Arizona may be showing interest in them. Arizona doesn't even have a head coach yet. So, I mean,
yeah.
I think these rumors are bogus right now. We have to figure out who's going to be the head coach, is even interested in a quarterback like that. My thoughts on Tim Tebow hasn't changed. I think he's a great guy, great human being, but he's just not an NFL quarterback. And once again, you know, we're just talking about mobile guys who can throw the ball. Tim Tebow can't throw the ball in the ocean from a boat. And, you know, and so he's not going to be accurate with the football. He can run. He doesn't have the speed like the RG3, Russell Wilson, and the Kaepernicks, but he still can run. And so I still just think he's better off as a backup QB or as a starting quarterback in the Canadian Football League, which might be his best option in my opinion.
Wow, I agree. I don't think he's a good quarterback. I think you need like a veteran quarterback in front of him. I would say like the team like the Patriots or something like that. The Arizona, they already have Blaine Hoyer that actually came from the Patriots, and they said back in the day that he looked the best quarterback and that he was a good system guy, but he looked like he had everything put together. So I agree with that point. We got 90 seconds, Rob. Let's talk about the OT portion, and if you want to throw some fantasy shout-outs, that would be great as well.
Once again, people, if you all are just sitting at your desk eating lunch on tomorrow, click on the same link and you can catch our OT portion right after we go off the air here. We have a 15-minute OT portion that you can catch on tomorrow. We still have some NBA. We still have a little bit more NFL to talk about. We're going to talk about a little bit about Lance Armstrong and his situation as well. So you don't want to miss that. Tune in on tomorrow. Once again, join us live again on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. That's 5 a.m. Wednesday morning for our friends in Germany. That's 10 p.m. Central Time, and that's 8 p.m. Pacific Time for our friends in Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Seattle, Bay Area, for all of our friends there. So make sure you catch us live on next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
Good night, folks, and tune in. You want to throw some fantasy shout-outs real quick, Rob, as we wrap up?
Fantasy shout-out right now. The only thing we have going on is our fantasy basketball league, and Irv Daniels, Dr. Duncanstein, is in first place as we speak. So congrats to him. We still got a long season to go. And make sure you always stay in touch and with us for our fantasy league coming up here in the near future.
Thank you, people. We'll see you next week. I was just saying a quick congratulations to Herb. We love you, bro. We'll talk soon. All right, we are kicking off the OT portion, and before we wrap up another topic, we're just going to say this last thing about the NFL, and what do you think about the Patriots? Do you think they can win without Gronk, Rob Gronkowski? Do you think that's the thing they can win without him?
Well, yes, and the only reason I think so is because they still have another very good tight end, Aaron Hernandez. And I think, if you look at the kind of weapons that Tom Brady has played with over the years, this guy's won Super Bowls with secondary receivers and tight ends, in my opinion. And so I think, he can get it done. He's got Wes Welker, he's got Brandon Lloyd, he's got Aaron Hernandez. And I think he's got enough running backs that can catch the ball. Shane Vereen with a beautiful over-the-head catch on a fly pattern for a touchdown against the Houston Texans this past weekend. So he's got backs that can catch the ball out of the backfield. I know Danny Woodhead could possibly be questionable this week as well, but I still think they have enough personnel, enough talent to get by and win this game at home. The Ravens are going to come up there and be physical, but I think New England can match the physicality and pull this out even without Gronk.
I think the Patriots are so well coached that, as mentioned, it doesn't really matter who you put in it. They're able to make adjustments. So I don't think they're going to miss a beat. I mean, I'm sure they'd rather have him in the game, but they're going to figure out the next person to step up and do their thing, because I remember whenever Troy Brown was playing both ways, it was just amazing to see that they just have players that have football intelligence. So Bill Belichick's a good coach. Got to respect him, and I think they're gonna keep going without missing a beat. All right, let's talk about some controversial issues in Mr. Lance Armstrong. He actually is coming out, Rob, and said that he's now admitting to doping. This is pretty shocking news. If you're the French, you always felt like something wasn't right because he was winning all those championships. But what's your thoughts on this, Rob? I mean, do you feel like you know, Lance had the Live Strong thing. I mean, this dude was, he battled cancer, and you kind of felt bad, what he was going through. And now you're like, really? Seriously? You were really doping? What's your thoughts on this, Rob?
Wow. It's just, obviously, it's not shocking at all. And, this guy just vehemently just kept denying the fact that he was doping.
Yeah.
And you just have to wonder now, in some of these sports, some people go to great lengths to make sure that they're staying on top. And I was actually one of these people that actually believed him when he said he didn't do it.
Yeah.
And maybe because he's American and we're rooting for him and things of that nature. And there possibly could be some legal issues regarding this as well. And it's just, you just hate to see it. In one sense, you appreciate him coming clean and, telling the truth. But in another sense, you're kind of, upset that you've kind of been lied to in that magnitude. So it's sad to see. But like I said, in one sense it's good, one sense it's not. And hopefully, the cycling industry can clean up the doping aspect so that sport can be clean.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head, Rob. Upset. I think another word is disappointed because, as you mentioned, you just had such high hopes for him and all that he accomplished, and you just felt like, man, we had a hold on the sport. And now, as you mentioned, you hope that it'll get cleaned up. And it's going to look bad for American cycling because we're going to get probably scrutinized moving forward in the future. But Lance, thanks for that. But like you said, we're a country of second chances. He'll get a second chance. We'll forget about it. But it's just right now, it's kind of raw. We're very disappointed in everything, too. So,
yes.
We'll have to deal with that. Yep. I like this question, Rob, and we're going to just ask a quick thing about college basketball. And I think the question is, will we ever see a perfect season in college basketball? And just to be short, because we've got a lot of other topics to talk about, I'm going to say no because there's too many just teams that can, that you just never know. Like you have, one bad shooting night and some team can be done it for you. Kind of similar, unfortunately, what's happening with North Carolina. They're they're a target just for the history and tradition, and everyone's going to get their A games, you know. So I think it's going to be tough. And this is obviously since Michigan just went down. They were the last undefeated team. So, yeah, I think it's going to be tough for a team to be undefeated again in college basketball.
I'm going to say I believe there will eventually be a team that can go undefeated again. I mean, you even look at last year, this Kentucky team only lost two games. And, you know, they lost one in the regular season. They lost the SEC championship game in a tournament to Vanderbilt. And, I mean, that was an incredible Kentucky team last year. They won it all. They only lost two games for the whole season. It's just going to take the right team, the right combination of players. And I do believe that it could happen again. And, you know, and I don't know when, but I believe it can happen again. Like I said, you look at Kentucky, they were two games away from being perfect. And I just think, like I said, if you get the right blend of players and coach, I think it can happen again. Like I said, I don't know if it'll be next year or 5 years or 10 years, but I believe it can happen.
Gotcha. Love it. Let's talk about another thing. We have LeBron is close to becoming the NBA's youngest player to score 20,000 points. This is a huge accomplishment. If you didn't know, Wilt Chamberlain was, of course, the youngest at 29 years and 134 days. Then Kobe was the next youngest at 29 years and 122 days. But now we have LeBron. He's actually going to win it, I think, at 28 years and 16 days. And I think this could have been sooner, Rob, if the lockout didn't happen last year. So this is a pretty amazing step.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a good point. I didn't even think about the lockout aspect from it, and that's a really good point. And but you're right. I mean, it's an incredible accomplishment. This is a guy that came in his rookie year and was putting up big numbers as far as scoring a basketball. But the thing, you know, if you really look at LeBron James' game, he's so versatile. He's not one of these guys that would just take up 40 shots to get his 30 points. And he shoots a high percentage. He distributes the basketball at a high rate. He rebounds the basketball. He plays defense. If you look at his overall game, he's what we like to call a stat sheet stuffer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to fill up every category in the stat sheet. And so he's not, like I said, he's not one of these guys that just comes out and takes 40 shots to get 30 points, which you have some scorers in the league needs to do that. You know, he can go out and take 15 shots and hit 10, hit 6, 7 free throws and have a, you know, very strong 27, 28-point night. And I think that's what's kind of impressive about his game.
So real quick, so what do you think about the Heat? They seem like they're kind of like sleepwalking right now. And what do you think about their motivation right about now?
Well, they don't look like a team that's excited to play, other than LeBron James, that is. I mean, you look at Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and the rest of that team, they look like they're sleepwalking a little bit. Look like they're bored, and look like they're just waiting for the playoffs. And, you have to wonder. I don't think it's safe to play that way because, you know, I think they're thinking they can just turn that light switch on when it comes to playoff basketball. And I just kind of think like they need to be playing – you know, at a high level and keep some momentum going into the playoffs. So in my personal opinion, I think they need to wake up, smell a coffee, and start playing some basketball like they're capable of playing. Now, you know, Miami is struggling on the defensive end this season, and they're struggling in rebounding. And so Eric Sprocher's got to figure out something. They need to have some interior beef, and I think they've been playing a lot of small ball this year, and I think they need somebody else that can play in the paint and cause some havoc to go down there with Chris Bosh. And I know there's some rumors about them possibly signing Chris Birdman Anderson or Eric Dampier, but they need somebody that can help them in a rebounding and defensive end. Otherwise, it may be tougher than to repeat this year.
We're on the street, too, Rob. Make sure they're actually eyeing a name that's been a bust, and that's Greg Oden, too. So let's see how that plays out if he gets, you know, his – injury is over, but that's going to be interesting too as well.
Greg Oden, just to make a quick point on that, Oden won't be back until next season. He won't be coming back this year.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like next year is what I said. So we'll see how that plays out. Yeah. Woohoo! Let's keep it going on the West Coast here. Our Bay Area folks can give us a lot of love here. And this is an interesting thing with Sacramento. They're actually fighting to keep the Kings, and a lot of my Sacramento folks are hating on the Maloof brothers, Rob. And this was pretty interesting if you kind of read the rumors, in that the current mayor Kevin Johnson, formerly of the Phoenix Suns, is making a counteroffer to kind of keep the Kings there. There's a San Francisco investor, Chris Hansen, that's trying to buy the team and move them to Seattle. What do you think about this?
Well, this is, I tell you what, the Maloof brothers, this has been a debacle here for the last few years. The team was moving to Anaheim, and then all of a sudden they say they're going to stay, and now they're back on the fence again here. I mean, it looks like last week it was a done deal that the team was moving to Seattle, but no deal is done with the Maloofs until...
Money.
Until everything's officially signed. It's going to be interesting. I hate to see a team. I hate to see a city lose their team, things of that nature. And so I would like for, Sacramento to go ahead and reach a deal and hope that they can keep the Kings. And maybe hopefully down the road, Seattle, the NBA can add a team to the league and add another franchise to Seattle. You'd like to see the NBA return. Seattle as well. I would hate to see Sacramento lose the Kings, even though they have Golden State, which is only about an hour and a half, southwest of Sacramento, where they can catch NBA basketball there. But like I say, you just hate to see a team or a city lose a team.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think that Seattle, I'd love to see Seattle have a team, because that city deserves one. The Seahawks have been doing great. They got the Mariners. It's good to have, just kind of give them the trifecta and add another NBA team there. So we'll hope for them to make that. If you're the Kings, you're thinking not us, but hopefully the NBA will reach an agreement, as you said, and kind of open it up to add that expansion team, because I'm sure it'll help for the league too. The last thing, let's talk about another team out on the West Coast, and obviously you're the Clippers. You're stealing a lot of thunder from the Lakers, but the question we have is, can they win the NBA title? And right about now, Rob, as we got 3 minutes wrapping up the show, I'm going to say no, because I don't think their bench is deep enough, and there's a lot of dependence on Chris Paul, and obviously I think he's hurt. So I think they need a couple of things. Like, they need another third scorer to kind of help out. Blake Griffin is a terrible free throw shooter, as well as DeAndre Jordan, as you know. So they need somebody to kind of come in and help balance out that team, as well as a wing defender. So maybe an O.J. Mayo or something like that can kind of balance him. If you look at teams like the OKC, they've got three bona fide scorers. You look at the Celtics, and you look at the Heat somewhat have that in Bosh and Wade and LeBron. So I think you need three people to kind of balance out that team. So I don't think they have enough right now.
Well, I partially agree with you as well. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say they're definitely not ready to win the NBA championship. I do think their bench is deep enough, though. I do think they got a lot of players that can play, but I do think they need one more superstar. So I would agree with you on that aspect of it. I think they need another star that can get them over the hump. And, or not necessarily a superstar, but maybe somebody that's just beneath a superstar level. And maybe just a star level, a really good player or a star-level player, but not a superstar. And so I do think they just need another piece there for them to get over the hump. It looks like they have an incredible regular season this year and possibly could have the number one seed in the West. I mean, obviously Oklahoma City may have something to say about that. I'm not going to rule the Clippers out for the NBA Finals, but I still think in the end, even though Miami's still the number one seed in the East, And even though they're having a little bit of struggles on defense and rebounding, I still think in the end, with them having the three superstars, it's going to be hard for anybody to beat them come playoff time. So I would not be surprised if the Clippers make it to the finals, but not winning the finals.
Gotcha. Got a minute, Rob. Let's wrap it up and get ready for next week, sir.
Join us next Tuesday night, our live portion, 10 p.m. Central Time, 11 p.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Wednesday morning for our friends in Germany, and 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Good night, people.
We appreciate you guys listening to the show. Check out the archive link. I apologize for Rob's being off this week, but I'm glad Rob is there to be there to finish up the gap. So we're here, guys. Call the show, 424-243-9519. Follow us on Facebook. We're going to give you some posts. And we look forward to next week and the predictions and all the fun stuff we'll have set for the Super Bowl. So we will have that next week. So let's talk. See you guys next week.
Look for my mock draft coming soon here as well.
And the Shrine game as well. We got a lot of fun things coming up this weekend, guys. We'll see you next week. Talking Sports is officially off the air. Thanks, guys.
Good night.